The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing onto the reading of his word. With God's word open before us, we'll bow now together in a further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to bow before thy throne. We thank thee for the God of all grace that thou art, for the Father of mercies, the God of comfort, the one who encourages us in the middle of our distresses and in the fiery trials of this life, but the one who also fills our hearts with joy whenever we come to seek his face, whenever we delve into his word, whenever we ask for that word to apply to a particular circumstance that we are faced with in life. And we thank you, Lord, that we believe today, as the children of God always have, that the Bible has the answer, and that ever and always it will present Christ as being that answer. And as, Lord, we go through this presentation tonight, we pray for thy help, and we ask, Lord, for grace from the sanctuary, and we pray that what we are thinking about tonight will be of benefit unto our lives, not only this evening, but right through this incoming week and for many, many days in our lives. Come, may Christ be glorified. May his mercy be put on display. And we pray that his power and authority may also be revealed. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. I assume that coming here tonight, you know what the subject is, or roughly what the subject is. Roughly is the operative word tonight, and probably what we deliver to you is going to be very rough and ragged indeed. But we will try to get through. You've had a good performance, and now hot on the heels of that one, you're going to get the rather mediocre one, if not the bad. But the subject tonight is along the lines of watch where you go, and not just simply when you're driving your car with R plates and think that you're the motorcycle equivalent of what Barry Sheen was, or the car equivalent of what Barry Sheen was on a motorbike, that you can break all the speed limits in the world and get away with it. You know what? I was down visiting in a Belfast hospital. We'll keep this deliberately kind of smudged at the edges here the other night. And I happened to be visiting the father of a guy who turned out to be... Maybe you could leave the building at this moment in time in case you happen to know him. The father of a traffic cop. And I was talking about going up the M2 afterwards. He says, you know what? They're on their break at 2 o'clock in the morning and you'll be fine. And I was glad they were on their break because I was fine and I saw and heard no blue lights or sirens coming behind me on the way up the M2. He says, if you do get stopped, there's a big, tall, 6'2" blonde who is a female and she's in charge of our squad. And just say that you were visiting so-and-so's dad and you'll be fine. How did we get to that? Watch where you go. But we're not talking about the motorway or anything else. We're talking about on the internet or the web or in general use of the computer tonight. Well, what we have in the computer is pretty much a neutral tool to begin with. And what we have also from God is a very clear and not at all a neutral command as to how we should live in the world around us. God has given us a creation charter. That's what I'm talking about to begin with. And as we move through, we'll mention merely in passing another couple of charters, maybe even three of them, on the way through. The creation charter to man is to subdue the earth and to do it for his own glory. So when we return, for example, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, we'll read, "And God blessed them. God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So there is a command, as you can see there, to more or less take control of your environment. And everything that is in the world there, God has given it for a purpose and clearly for our use. Of course, in the world today, there are various religious sects. You come across them now and again, maybe sometimes quite regularly. Not these guys, I wouldn't imagine. And they refuse to use many of the things that God in grace and power has given to us to use. For example, you've got the Amish over in America, some of the states there sprinkle through them, and they refuse to use the car, the telephone, the television, and other things as well. Mind you, I am reliably informed, having visited Wisconsin, that if you come along and you see an Amish guy walking about on the side of the road, and if he can look this way, that way, jump into your car without being seen, he will gladly, in 9 cases out of 10, take the ride. But they have rules, they have regulations. It's rather a quaint sight to go around and see trundling across the country, maybe even on wide open highways, a guy like this in his covered buggy and his very limited horsepower as he goes along and you're steaming past him. Other religious sects in the world today refuse medical treatment. I was looking for the most sanitized picture of blood that I could find, just in case somebody decided to go a kind of squeamish when I put this up on screen. I know some people can tend to. Anybody going to go a bit of squeamish? Because if you are, we'll leave it on for another 30 seconds just to make sure the job is well done, and we'll maybe start pumping a bit of this blood here as we move it through the tubes. No, I wouldn't do that. You know I would not be like that at all. There are some Jehovah's Witness, for example, that refuse medical treatment that would be widely accepted by Christians and accepted by non-Christians indeed as well. But, as David said in Psalm 24 in the verse 1, we have just read it, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." He has it all under control. He has provided it for our use. He says something similar through Moses in Exodus 9:29, through Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:26 and 28. Now, as a result of filling this universe with resources for us to make use of, down through the centuries of time, God has used saved men and saved women to trailblaze in the field of science. Don't ever believe the nonsense that is paraded out there by the likes of Richard Dawkins and Cone that would tell you Christianity is rude, it is elementary, it is uneducated, it's just populated by a bunch of airheads, and they're all, believe it or not, anti-science. He needs to go back into history and start reading and educate himself as to whom were the leading persons in many fields of science down through the centuries. Now, if you were to pedal back into the 17th century, you'd find a lot of Christian men of science there who have provided the roots of basically all the modern science fields that we know and can identify today. Johann Kepler, 1571-1630, physical astronomy. You have Blaise Pascal, a familiar name in hydrostatics and probability and all the rest of it. You have Robert Boyle, another Christian in the field of chemistry. Blame him for all of those formulae that you struggle with in school and all the rest of it. John Bray in the field of biology, Robert Hooke in mathematics. We have Isaac Barrow, who happened to be the teacher of Isaac Newton. You have Isaac Newton himself in dynamics and calculus, in gravitation. You have James Bradley in astronomy, particularly the aberration of starlight. Other names we could mention, Michael Faraday, Samuel F.B. Morse, Louis Pasteur, Lord Kelvin, and in the majority of those cases, they were bona fide Christian men believing the Bible and putting their Christian faith into daily practice. Who ever said Christians were just a collection of anti-science airheads? The truth could not be further from that particular empty-headed statement made by the likes of Dawkins and other people. So there are many scientific and technological advancements God has handed to us, given to mankind, and we as Christians should be making use of, particularly today in the world of evangelism and in the realm of the edification of the people of God. Tonight, we're going to consider the place and the use of technology, the internet-based material in particular, in fulfilling, as we should rise to fulfill, the Great Commission, which is Christ's charter to evangelize. So we have not only a creation charter, we have an evangelism charter. Where do we catch up with that? Well, our Lord's words, for example, Matthew 28:16-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. We can move over into the book of Romans, find similar words. In Romans 10, the verses 17 and 18, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. And so there's an emphasis here. Our Lord has commanded, you've got to take the word that I have given you into the world that I have placed you upon, and saturate this globe with the message of the gospel of saving grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's summarize what we're all about. Get the word to the world. And he reminds us, in giving us this instruction, that all power has been given unto him. He gives his power to us so that we might complete this particular task. So Paul is saying, under inspiration, we have got to go global with the gospel unto all the earth, unto the ends of the world. And this is clearly the basic command of heaven to us. Now, God in his providence has given us some amazing, remarkable tools to accomplish this purpose. Ingenious methods he has given to us of reaching man and woman, reaching out to their minds, appealing to their ears and to their eyes, or both, and we should use and utilize these methods in the work of his kingdom. And we'll be talking about, as we go through the message tonight, some of the uses of the web. There'll be good uses. We'll begin with those. Let's strike the positive notes at the beginning, and then we'll become rather more negative as we move towards a conclusion. It's inevitable. We have to do it. There's no way around it. Now, when I was doing a little research, the first time I was asked to prepare a message along these general lines, I came across a sermon on the internet. And, you know, it kind of seemed to be a dream message. Right down my street on this particular topic, all the information that I would have needed, and I thought, whoa, that's it, sorted. And I downloaded it with the intention of listening to this message later. I did listen to it. It turned out the recording had been made back in 1963. And the speaker on the recording was enthusing about, as he went through, videos. It may be possible, he said, to take a video and project it onto your own TV screen if you have the appropriate adapters. How old hat is that today? I mean, yeah, we do that. DVDs, everything else. We record onto DVDs directly from our TV screens and all the rest of it. We have moved a little in 40-odd years. Then movies, that really did take the biscuit. What he was saying on this particular recording back in 1963. He talked about films, he says. All have advantages. Silent. Who watches silent movies here? Who is the absolute nerd amongst us that watches silent movies? Sad guy with ginger beer in his hand and a packet of Cheerios, and he's popping them in at the same time while he is making his own sounds while listening to the silent movie. Black and white movie. even colour, he said, back in 1963. They all have their advantages. Well, I'm sure they do. Can you imagine how disappointed I was to work through this sermon and find it had absolutely no relevance or significance to what I was going to preach on when I was talking about computers? The computer hadn't even been invented in at least household format back in the year 1963. So, computers we're talking about tonight, to some degree. We live in a computer age. We're all well aware of that. We hear about it all the time. I am no expert on the subject. That was a snap my wife took of me while I was sitting in the computer before I left today. But, still at the same time, while I am no expert on the subject, I've covered a lot of ground since I was going out of a shop in Banbridge one day, holding this absolute monstrosity of a machine, twin floppy drives, 5 1/4 drives, and there wasn't even a hard drive in the machine, and the guy laughed at me as I went out and he says, you know, you'll be back for a hard drive. I turned around and says, hard drive? Do you think I'd need a hard drive? Hadn't a clue what I was talking about, but he certainly knew that I would need to be upgrading to a hard drive pretty soon. Now, it wasn't quite this computer. That was one of the very first computers that filled an entire room whenever they assembled it. Mine just wasn't quite as large as that. Whenever I started, I think it was about 1988. But over the time that I've been using computers, I've discovered a few things that you can do, and probably a few things that you shouldn't do. One thing that you'll never do is find success in using a computer, because they have this annoying habit, whenever you're coming to a crucial moment, the hard drive packs in, the DVD drive goes, something else happens, and you lose what you've been storing for quite a while. Backup, I know, but that's easier said than done. More often than not, this is what you'll want to do to your computer, and if you're not at a nearby window where you can drop it out, preferably just beside someone to give them a shot, because after all, you're throwing hundreds of pounds out, you might as well get a bit of value out of it. But sledgehammer might just be as good a tool whenever the frustration level really builds up. Despite my limited knowledge of computers, I do know enough to realise that Apple Macintosh is the best computer on the market. So now we're in the sales pitch, and I'm trying to get you all converted over to Apple Mac. You can get it as thin as that. And that is thin. For all of you girls that are next to anorexic and you're talking about, can I get as thin as I possibly can? Thinner, 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 thinner. Well, do it on your computer. This is the thinnest you can get. One of the most recent MacBook Airs that's out on the market at the moment. Simply the best. Well, how can we use these things? Email is one thing. Well, you can, you know, help your minister out, do a bit of desktop publishing and do his leaflets and flyers and distribute them all around the countryside, and he will really be impressed if you do that. So don't be running out of the meeting to do it right now. Wait until tomorrow morning and start doing the flyers for your minister. You can do other things. You can email, and that certainly is extremely useful in our modern society that's hurtling along at 150 miles an hour and more. We need to be able to respond quickly and zip statements out. There's no better way than email to do it. I like one of my first email addresses. I had this as my email address. And then Go Nuts for Free as a company closed down. I was left high and dry. So I'm now left to do Ian.Brown at TalkTalk. And that probably suits me as far as most people are concerned. At TalkTalk.net. And that's where I am today. Now, would you believe it? The Truth for Youth magazine, and we've made some limited contribution to that over the years, particularly in Let the Bible Speak kind of material. It used to be put together by a company down in the... Well, to get to it, one essential was not only a car, but a machete. Because as you went down into the depths of County Tyrone, you had to reach out the window and swing that machete to cut down all the branches, or you would never have made it to Omagh. But the Truth for Youth magazine was coming out of Omagh for many years. Tyrone Constitution was in control of the production of the magazine. Would you believe it? They had no email address. I mean, a company with no email address. So if you were right close to the wire, right on the cusp of the deadline as I normally am, then you had to jump into the car and drive down and hand deliver it rather than being able to send it over the wires there and get it through by email. Government and Morals Committee, there's a lot of issues come up. I'll not bore you or shock you even with the detail of Jerry Springer the Opryum. Let me say, it was absolutely repugnant from beginning to end. Castigated our Lord Jesus, put him into an awful personage here that I'll just not describe, but they received 55,000 complaints even before the broadcast went out. They talked about what was going to be in it, the kind of content, and Christians mobilised, and many through the means of email registered complaints right up front. After the broadcast, BBC Board of Governors voted 4-1 to throw out all of those complaints, claiming that the artistic significance of the Opryum outweighed the offence that may have been caused to some limited people out there, all 55,000 plus of them. In May 2005, it was upheld by the High Court judgment, for they sided with the BBC and said, you were quite right, in the name of art, to put that kind of material out. Tolerance, as we always get to know, is tolerant of many things, except the tenets of the Christian faith and all that the Bible would have us to stand for. Now, you can use email. I'm not sure that this particular dwelling is rigged up with it, but I know our missionaries out in Kenya are, and you can contact a missionary by email. That's a brilliant method. Drop them a line of encouragement. Maybe some of our workers over in Kenya, in the Philippines, wherever, you know, choose the spot and email, and you've no way of telling just how encouraging it may be for them to receive a little bit of contact from this side of the world. Some emails, even though it's meant to be really quick, are really so slow. And if you're sitting expecting some guy to put, it's going to be through in a second or two, and you could be sitting there for an awful long time, and sort of through flesh deterioration and everything else, have to give up, because it's not really turned out as fast as it should have been. Not only emails, we can contact, communicate with others through MSN and Skype and all the rest of it. Use that sparingly, please. You know what? There is a whole shower of people dotted through the country, in from school, stuck to the computer, throw my supper over my shoulder as long as it doesn't hit the keyboard, and they'll be there from afternoon to night. Now, what kind of a life is that? You'll turn out like this guy. Your mum and dad probably wish you did at least come somewhat down the line so that you'd see a bit of sense and take remedial action. Website. Also perform through your computer technology, all the rest of it. Most businesses, many churches, I know you have a personal website here in Coleraine, and you recognise that having a website is good for public awareness. An easy reference tool for people. They don't have to come into your church through the door, crawl up the carpet on their bellies to make sure you don't look at them and turn around to gawk at the new person who's coming to sit in one of your pews. How dare they? Some people do that, you know, it's absolutely terrible. A new person comes in and everybody's heads, looking at them. How do they feel? Not very welcome, I tell you, but very much in the spotlight. They didn't know the aisle was a catwalk, but that's what it turned out to be whenever you started glaring at them. Hey, don't do it. That's what we're saying. But they don't have to do that. They can check you out on the web if you've got a website and see what you're all about. Now, we don't have a website at this moment in time. Guys have offered to do one for us, and maybe we will eventually get round to it. You would have about us, I'm sure. You'd have your meetings listed, various issues you wanted to deal with, Bible studies, devotional messages posted up there, sermons, I'm sure everybody would want those. Children, that's always a good method to get people to come back and back and back again. The kids will play the games. I'm sure you've got a wide assortment of games on your website here. I was told, actually, that when you put games on your website, well, games can grow a business. They will keep people coming back and back and back, particularly those of the rather addictive natures. Lance Freeby, game developer at Ministry Media, claimed, on the web, games are actively engaging experiences, increasing their ability to hold people's attention and keep customers coming back. I discovered this site, KidsApp. Quite liked it for a day or two. Really liked Ballistic Biscuit because you were on this kind of a ring while you were directing the guy along the ring and all kinds of obstacles were coming about and you were dodging them, but inevitably you didn't get far and there was a bit of a clunk as you hit a log or two and off you went. It's probably even more fun in real life, but that's the best you can do there when you're sitting in front of a computer screen. Not only do we have the ability to throw out emails, to access websites where we have our church material, also sermonaudio.com, Mac McFelter on, Cole Rayner on, London Terry's on. Come on, Clock Mills, where are you? We need you on up there, and get on quick. I'm sure there are other churches as well that are on it. I know Ballymena, Bala Money, and everything else. Quite a few are on Sermon Audio, and we find it to be an excellent resource, as I'm sure everybody has. Now, Sermon Audio have released a statement through their originator, Stephen Lean, saying that sermonaudio.com is more than just technology. It is our conviction that millions of people are hungering and thirsting for solid, uncompromising Bible preaching and teaching. One way to reach them, and for many the only way to be reached, is through the internet. You wouldn't believe the number of emails you get from guys living in America where people think there are hundreds, zillions of churches in America, and yet people are emailing in saying, Sermon Audio is a lifeline to us. We don't have the kind of churches or the kind of preaching that you guys are putting out over there in Northern Ireland. So there is a market out there for sure. Just make sure whenever you're loading up your picture, you put up one that's about 10 years out of date, that includes hair and hair that is brown or black or whatever, you know what I'm saying. I'll go no further down the line. It might attract people back. We did over the past month, this is just our downloads here. I'm sure somebody can say, hey, is that all you have? We have got so many more thousand. But I'm just trying to emphasize how good a tool it is and how extensive the reach of this particular tool is. Last month in May, we had 7,157 total sermons that were downloaded. That's around 230 sermons per day. I'm not preaching to that amount of people per day. I don't preach to anybody usually on Monday. So to have a congregation of 230 people out there somewhere is a rather satisfying thing. What is even more satisfying to me is the thought that while I'm sleeping, I am actually terrorizing somebody on the other side of the globe who's listening to my message. It happens. 85% of the downloads are from America, UK, Canada, and Australia. In the last month, we had 53 different countries coming in. I've done a Bible study course in Londonderry. I then revised it when I was in charge of convoy, did it there. And I have had people coming, phoning me up, emailing me, asking. One pastor who's teaching missionaries in Lithuania has said, can we use your Bible study course? I'll never be in Lithuania, and yet my material is out there, and that's quite an interesting thing, probably horrific for them, but there it is. Also a pastor in America, can we use your Bible study course? And he is doing, and in one of the islands off Scotland again, he is using the basic Bible study course from Londonderry. Again, I say, Clock Mills, waking up, sharpen up your act, and get on board the Sermon Audio. I'll not say it's a bandwagon because it's anything but that. It's a very useful device indeed. Now, to think that years ago you couldn't really do much within the boundaries of China. China do quite a few downloads. Japan, you've got Korea coming into the frame, even Kuwait, Malaysia, Madagascar, Chile, Cameroon, Botswana, Barbados, all over the world, various people are tuning in and listening. In fact, last month alone from China, we had out of our 7,000 total, 801 downloads that came from China. That was 11% of our total. And we've been amazed at that. Don't know why it is, but more and more as the months go by, the listenership in China is really increasing. Now, closely aligned to Sermon Audio is the iPod revolution. Haven't got one myself. But sure, if I need one, there's plenty running about in the house. I could borrow one and listen, no doubt, to all of my sermons as soon as I would plug them in. Yes. Do you not believe me? Well, you know, some of them are pretty good now. You can get up to 60 gigabytes, 80 gigabytes, maybe even higher than that. By my calculation, that'll be 12,500 sermons you can fit on there. So in other words, think of what you could do with that little lot at the listening rate, for example, of, well, not go too hard on you, one every other day. One sermon every other day, as I'm sure you'll be well able to do. You'll have enough material there to keep you going right up to the point where you're ambling round the local park at 70 plus years of age. Don't worry about running out of space. By the time you reach 70, the storage capacity of these devices will have multiplied and you'll have about 50,000 sermons on your iPod at that stage. Today it's not so much as, do you have an iPod, as, what colour is your iPod? What size, capacity is your iPod? Or as the ad puts it, which iPod are you? I think she's listening. I get the vibes coming here to one of my recent sermons. What do you think? Well, some words of recommendation from iPod owners who tune in to sermon audio. Now let's keep it on the straight and narrow and in the right areas. Larry from Columbus, Ohio. I have a 60 gigabit iPod that I fill with music of worship and God's word, and my 8-hour work days are spent listening to the word of God, songs of worship and the Bible and audio. Thank you, sermonaudio.com, for the wonderful education you provide me. He must have a tremendous job that he can do that. 8 hours per day. Now, another guy who is called Squog from the Bay Area, California. I use Blypunk car radio CD MP3 player that is installed in my Ford Focus. I burn a full CD of MP3 stuff and then listen during commute. You're taking it in, there's one guy at work listening to all of these sermons. Another guy who's on his way to work listening in his Ford Focus to all of these sermons. Now that's pretty good, very impressive. I was thinking, if neither of those options suit you, then there's another, and there always is a healthier alternative. And some of us could benefit from this one enormously. I was quite taken aback when I stepped on the scales on Friday night before I went to Presbytery. I was down at Mum and Dad's. I don't use the scales at home. And I discovered I was one stone heavier than what I thought I was. Maybe other people have that particular daunting prospect to face as well. Listen in, if it's a case, to Steve from New England, who's got a 15 gig Apple iPod. I suck down sermons from Sermon Audio regularly, he says, and listen to them while, getting the message, running with my iPod. Thanks for creating such a great repository to access some outstanding teachers. So, what's he saying? Let me translate. Take the chips out of your mouth. Put trainers on your feet. Get earphones in your ear. Plug into your iPod. Get out there running and start listening to good sermon material all along the way. It's really hard to get away from some preachers these days. Especially those long-winded ones. You could drive. You could jog a colossal distance, and they would still not be through. This guy has made it to Siberia. He's thinking, when's this fella ever going to stop? He's still prattling on, and I'm in Siberia right now. When is he going to finish? I'm sure you've had that feeling. I reckon you're having it right now. But despite that blast negative comment, we're looking at the positives, the great potential that is in modern medium and communications for use in Christian ministry. But there's a downside. Yes, you got the word right. There's a downside. Social, networking, sites. We're on to the negative things here. And you might, if I kept it up long enough, see one that you're familiar with, but let me put you out of your misery and bring it up right now. One of the worst sites on all of the web. And some of you, I know by the look in your faces, your eyes are turning into beads. You're on this site. And you've got profiles on this site. And you've a lot of information on this site. And you've pictures of yourself on this site. And girls, you're trying to attract the guys with the pictures you put on this site. So, now that some people are suitably embarrassed, and there's that much heat coming out of some pews here, the plastic is going to start melting. So on your way out, check the people that have got yellow plastic chins. And you'll know the people that were melting as I have just said what I have just said. When it was set up, Bebo was neutral. Like pretty much the web in general. It's a matter of content, it's a matter of users, it's a matter of what you're going to put on there. Yes, cool yourself down. A headline that appeared in the Daily Mail 2nd of April 2008 was not overstating the case when it warned millions of girls using Facebook, Bebo, MySpace are at risk from paedophiles and bullies. Fact of the matter is, where young people go, paedophiles follow. MySpace actually was hit by scandal last year after it admitted it had detected and barred, listen carefully to the figure, 29,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. They were on MySpace. And you know what they were doing there. And in 2007, a paedophile was jailed for having illicit relations with a teenage girl that he met on a social networking website, Facebox. Now, common problems are no security controls. You can apply locks, I know, to prevent all but your friends viewing the pages. Well, if you can apply the locks and if you can seal off the site, time to do it. But a worrying 41% of children admitted they don't use the privacy settings. And only 53% of their parents give them rules or guidelines that they should be guided by as they go on and use these networking sites. Too much information. Post it up. Teenage girls think nothing of posting profiles accompanied by provocative pictures of themselves, along with personal details, names, addresses, the school they attend, the names of their friends. Be careful what information you're giving out in your profile. Be aware that that profile of yours, even though you think it's sufficiently locked away and safeguarded, could potentially be viewed by anyone. Remember, you don't know who your friends' friends are, nor who your friends' friends' friends are, and you don't know what they'll do with your picture, phone number, other details if you give it out there. And once your picture is out there, it's out there forever. You won't be able to recall it and stop where it spreads. Can I suggest a safe rule for all internet activity? If you wouldn't be comfortable printing it off and standing at a street corner on a busy day and handing your material out on the street, it shouldn't be on your profile. Or, better still, if you wouldn't want your mother to see it, you shouldn't post it for anyone to see. Now, purely for parents. Young people, turn your heads and face about. I'm only joking in that. On the internet, no one knows you're a dog, this guy's saying to the other one. And the thing about it is, on the internet, you don't know who's out there. What dogs, in other senses, are out there? Can't tell. Here's me catching up on screen with what I've said already. Bebo can be an open ticket to destruction, potentially, for people. There is, as I think you know, .co.uk. You came. I would advise all of you to take that down, note it, and check it out. I mean, you've got age groups here, 5 to 7, 8 to 10, 11 to 16, parent, carer, teacher, trainer, and that's some very good material for people who are parents. Think you know. The U being just the letter U, .co.uk. And that, I'm obliged to Mr. Colin Gibson for giving me that information, among other sites, and that is an excellent site in giving guidelines as to how to go, how to navigate and get around on the web, how to have fun, how to stay in control, how to report, how to protect yourself. Fact of the matter is, way back in the days of God's creation, just beginning, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were put into this perfect environment in Eden's garden. But it wasn't long before they encountered this wicked force that led them into sin, the devil in the disguise of a serpent. Now, we all know that little nerds with little or nothing to do are forever scheming up some virus whereby they can attack the greatest amount of people in the shortest amount of time and cause the greatest amount of confusion, and your computer, as you fear, is sort of draining its information away in front of your eyes while their little virus has taken hold. I must say, I was amused by one of them. They called it Brain. They released it in 1986. It was the first virus to hit computers running a Microsoft Corp operating system, DOS. It was written by two Pakistani brothers, and the virus left the phone number of their computer repair shop. Now that's kind of rubbing your nose in it. When we have wrecked your computer by our virus, come and call us up and we'll fix it for you, and we'll charge you a lot of money to do it. Now virus makers are bad enough, but there are countless thousands of websites and blogs who are churning out the most gruesome material imaginable, and they would dearly love to turn our computers and our experience of the internet into a low-level encounter with sin. I'm talking about internet pornography. Very prevalent, as people will know, on the internet. Accounts for 60% of all internet use. That's quite chilling. A number of other statistics. More than 25 million people visit these sites each week. One out of every 10 of those websites is dedicated to make very explicit material. 74% of all revenue collected online comes from pornography sites. $1.2 billion American dollars annually. 31% of all online users have visited porn sites. And 60% of all website visits, as we've said, are sexual in nature. I know people can say, you know, this stuff comes looking for you even when you don't go looking for it. And I know that can come down through email systems and all the rest of it. It has happened in the past, even when you, for example, would search for images that you can use in, say, a PowerPoint presentation like this one, and you're looking for something that's relevant, then you can have, even with moderate sales search on, material that comes in that is of itself shocking. But let me give you some more shocking statistics. Even allowing for what I've just said, I was quite amazed to read that not only are Christian men at risk of pornography addiction, but 18% of born-again Christians admitted using internet porn sites. I was more shocked to discover that women are increasingly addicted to pornography. One out of six, including Christians, 17%. Are visiting these sites. They talk about three A's. Accessibility is one. Anonymity is another one. Or maybe you think that. And affordability is another. And the internet just makes becoming an addict incredibly easy. Paul warns in Galatians 5 and verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication." And that word fornication is in the Greek porneia. You don't need to tell me what word in English that has given rise to. Uncleanness, lasciviousness. And as this in the chapter goes on to include, idolatry and heresies. And we're always talking about the idolatry that's out there and the heresies that are being peddled out there. And we are speaking against them regularly. But we tend to shyly evade the unclean ones that are snaring people by the thousand. We can't warn too strongly against accessing this kind of material. It is immoral, it's incredibly addictive, it's wildly unrealistic, it's highly destructive to your physical, emotional, spiritual life. It will destroy you. What is the answer? The same answer that has been here for generations of time by virtue of God's grace to us: live in and live by this book. That's why God gave it, for our guidance, for our blessing, not for our destruction. The devil is out there reeling us in, trying to destroy us, start to finish. The Bible has come, the revelation of the mind and the will of God, to lift us up onto such a high level of blessing and power with himself and influence with others. And it's a shame when we miss it and get sidetracked to these other things. Some computer-controlled engine management systems installed on high-performance cars can do 200,000 calculations a second. Pretty incredible, but they can malfunction. And you still can be left by the side of the road. And then when you get out and it's such a sophisticated system, you haven't a clue what to do with it. They can give out inaccurate information. The Word of God is so accurate that just like our Lord said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, in the verse 18, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." What are we talking about here when we talk about a jot? Well, basically, look to where you would expect two to be in that clock. Kind of a hanging apostrophe. That was the jot in Hebrew writing. For a tittle, well, when you look at a serif font on your computer, like Times, I hate Times, but Times is a good example of this. The N, for example, will sit on a little stroke, a base, both sides of that N. And just one overhang from the name part of that N, just the little overhang there to one side, would be equivalent to the tittle. God is saying, his word is so accurate, not even a jot, not even a tittle shall fail. Now, we talked about an evangelism charter and a creation charter very quickly, a purity charter. You know what it's all about? It's a matter of learning to yield to him and fix our hearts and minds on Christ. And so in Philippians 4:8-9, Paul writes, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, protect, guard your hearts and minds through or in Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. What is he saying? Stay close to Christ in the way that you live. And then you'll be able to search out others, and you'll be able to bring them with a good testimony yourself unto Christ, and you'll be able to use all of these media for God's glory. We'll end with a couplet: submit our lives to the word, spread it to the world. Let's get the message out using the technology that God, in his favor, wisdom, and grace, has provided it to us. And let's put it to good use. and not corrupted, as so many are doing, into bad use. Thanks very much for listening. It was a long message, but I appreciate your attention.